Hey everybody, Jimmy Warren. Welcome to a brand new episode of Metal Madness, man. It's going to get crazy tonight because we have just an outstanding bunch of musicians from Pennsylvania, from the Pittsburgh area. The band is Reign of Z. That's right, Reign of Z. It's going to be an amazing show. We got the whole band too. You know what? Normally, you know, on any of the shows that I've ever done over the years, it's like I'm lucky to get a guy, maybe two, you know. But this time I got the whole band while on tour, sitting on a porch in Aurora, Illinois, getting ready to go on to do a show later on that night. So you're going to enjoy it. The band is Reign of Z. This is Metal Madness. I'm your host, Jimmy Warren. Sit down, strap in, chain yourself to contain yourself right here on Metal Madness.
There we go.
Here they are.
Here we are.
How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
I got the whole band.
You got the whole band.
Damn, what? How'd that happen?
We all woke up.
Yeah.
That happens every now and then, huh?
Sometimes.
Yeah. So you guys are sitting on the front porch, back porch in Pittsburgh.
Right now we're
in Aurora, Illinois.
You're in Aurora. You're in my neck of the woods.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'm an hour south of Chicago.
Yeah, I love it.
Aurora.
Green Bay tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Sounds good. Well, I'm glad to have you guys all here. I don't know if Tom told you anything about me or the show or anything like that, but you look excited.
We got an email.
We are excited. Don't let all this fool you. We are excited.
Yeah. Now, you guys are from Pittsburgh, though, aren't you?
Some of us are. Berg and I are, and Grayson and Eric are from two different places.
Yeah, I'm from West Virginia.
Yeah, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, okay. I just played in Pittsburgh a week ago at the Hard Rock.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was in Kansas City at Knuckleheads the week before that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's a pretty cool place to play too.
So, yeah, what's your overall thoughts on the sound at the Hard Rock in Pittsburgh?
You know what? Actually, for me, it was really good.
Yeah,
I think they got a new sound guy though, don't they?
I it's been a minute since we played down there, but the last time we did with all them suspended speakers and everything, it was kind of odd.
Oh yeah, they don't have that no more. They got a whole new system.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to get in there.
Maybe I should venture out to my hometown every once in a while instead of being a hermit.
Well, that's the way I am. I don't play Chicago. Right? There's no money where you're from. You got to go somewhere else to make the money, right?
That's why I went to Pennsylvania to find a band.
Okay, so let's talk about the band. You know, how did you guys all manage to come together? I got a guy from Pennsylvania, a guy from West Virginia. How did it happen?
Well, Reign of Z, whenever it did start, we were all pretty much based around the Pennsylvania area, you know, over time. You know, Zoe and myself have kept things going. And before last tour, we had a drummer that came in that couldn't quite do it and made a phone call, and Eric filled in and flew into Pittsburgh about, 24 hours before the first show, 12 hours before the first show, the 30-day run we went on back in June, July. And, learned everything that we could in 4 hours. We played a show that night. Grayson stepped in here on this tour recently. And, that's pretty much how this variation of Reign of Z come together.
Right. Now, you guys formed the band in 17, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And I'm guessing that by through the title of the name Reign of Z, that it is geared around Yuzo. Is it correct? Is that what the Z stands for?
It's a double play. It's for her, and she's got a dog, her little bulldog named
Rain.
Yeah.
My bulldog.
So it's like a play on words.
It's all Burke's fault.
Yeah,
he named the band.
Yeah, I'm kind of a smart ass sometimes.
Yeah. Every now and then his cleverness overtakes him and runs wild. So
says the drummer.
So from the beginning, without asking a bunch of corny ass questions, from the beginning though, has the influence always been in the metal, hard rock, thrash world? Or are some of you closet smooth jazz fans?
Well, I came from a musical theater and opera background, so that's kind of thrown a wrench into the mix. That's what I grew up on. And Berg, you grew up on all different types of music.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, dirty hard rock is kind of some of the stuff where Brandon Z started at.
Yeah,
with the metal, with the beat down, you know, you want to throw in electric jazz or whatever, smooth funk fusion or whatever name.
Beethoven, whatever.
Yeah, I'm a folk musician.
Yeah,
I'm great. Trying to throw some banjos in here. They won't let me.
And Eric comes from reggae and
hip hop and funk and all that kind of stuff. So we're a nice little eclectic brewing pot of musicians, if you will.
Well, and that usually makes for a good mix, though. I mean, you really got to have that kind of, I mean, because if all of you guys were just, you know, metal fans, and that's all you ever were metal fans,
it would get boring so quick.
Yeah.
We'd have nothing to talk about. We wouldn't have anything to argue about besides who's better Tool bassist, you know?
but the theater
actually is.
But the theater aspect really has to come into play in a serious way of, you know, developing your style and developing, you know, your persona, you know, as the front person for the band. That really has to, you know, be a huge help.
It definitely does. I always say that the person on stage is the person that I wish I could be in real life. So it's kind of cool to create this entity or character or what have you. So it definitely helps me develop that, what that may be, you know?
Yeah. Well, I did read that, you know, you consider yourself a little bit of an introvert.
Oh, and very much so.
Which is so polar opposite of your stage, you know, persona. In that, what's going on upstairs that takes you from this quiet, introverted? You don't want me to ask. He's shaking his head.
No,
like,
you can ask.
He's like, don't go there.
Hall. That's like those castle stairs that curve around going up the tower. It's dark. You don't want.
I'll give you my therapist's phone number. No. But I think. You know, what, as far as like what's going on upstairs, that's a loaded question. But I think it's just for me, like when you go on tour and you go and perform, that's kind of like my expense, I guess, for like the month or week or, you know, socializing. I'm a very sensitive soul and I get very disappointed by the human race.
Nah.
So
I can imagine.
I think that's what has a lot to do with me being introverted. So it takes a lot of energy and a lot of mental prepping to go out on stage and kind of do what I do without sounding like an artist. I'm not trying to sound like an artist. It's just literally like my process. I do enjoy my solitude and my animals and, you know, just kind of keeping to myself. But also I feel like that's a way to stay away from drama and, you know, kind of minding my own business. My catchphrase for 2022 is stay in my lane. And that's kind of what I like to do.
Right. Right. Well, after you've spent, you know, so much time on the road, you know, I mean, you learn that, you know, there's a mental part of you that you really have to take care of. Cause if not, you can get out of whack pretty easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, out of whack.
I mean,
I washed my hands on that statement.
I'll answer for him.
Yeah. Just shakes his head. Yeah.
I think it's very important when you're on the road, you know, to maintain a routine, whatever that may look like. And I think that's kind of what keeps my mind focused, or, you know, anybody in this group, they have, you know, whatever keeps them. Oh, Jesus, you scared the shit out of me.
I'm all fucked up.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought there was a bug on my foot. I was about to have a nervous breakdown. But I think it's really important for you to develop a routine, whatever that may look like, you know, while you're on tour.
Yeah. So do you guys come together as a band, though, to discuss, you know, what a show is going to look like? Or do you guys just, you know, you're each your individual, you know, personalities, and that's what comes out on stage? Because I know, I've been around this a long time. I've interviewed huge bands, and some people really, you know, almost script out what's going to take place to some degree. And then some people are just themselves the whole time.
I think we
kind of just let the chemistry take over and go from there. You know, obviously, you know, you have your set list, but everybody else, you just kind of feed off each other. And if it works, wonderful. Repeat it again.
Yeah.
I was like preparing for the tour is when I joined up a couple months ago, I was like, how do you want me to dress? How do you want me to like look? Like, what do you want me to like be prepared? And it was like, you know, aside from the normal, like, you know, fitting into the metal scene, I was pretty lenient with the band about like keeping our image, but all keeping our it really helps us like maintain a good image and be creative and not just like another like cookie cutter metal band that looks and sounds and acts the same way as every other metal band in every single state of the country.
Right. Well, because it's really hard to separate yourself from the rest of the industry, because like the genre that you're in, the world that you're in is really kind of huge, even though it feels small. It's really kind of huge. There's a lot of bands doing it, and you know, and you separating yourself from everybody else has got to be a difficult thing to do, or not.
It definitely is, and I think I hate to always make this a taboo topic of conversation, but being female fronted, and even it was interesting, Grayson coming aboard, and he could probably touch on this more, you know, started to kind of get an idea of like what it's like being in a quote female fronted band.
You get treated a lot differently.
Yes.
Like, I've been in many bands, some female fronted, some not, some with women who aren't the front, and every time it's just like such a different difference in how you get treated.
You're talking about from, you know, like maybe agents or venues or promoters, things like that. Is that what you're talking about?
From
when
everybody
you say treated differently, or are you talking about within the group?
No, I mean, our group's pretty solid. Eric made a really profound statement yesterday.
What?
You were talking about female fronted and the sexism.
Oh, yeah.
You made a
yeah.
great
it,
statement
it, it,
yesterday.
I don't know. That was yesterday.
I know.
You're going to have to start writing that shit down, man.
There's a lot of, I wouldn't say like, I guess I would say sexism based towards that. Because, you know, it's, you know, usually guys are the more brutal and raw, you know, being able to belt out stuff. And then when you have like this little tiny girl that's like barely 5 foot, you know, that's just belting out shit left and right, people tend to look at you a little crossways, like, what the hell just happened? What did she just do that? So usually it's a lot of skepticism at first, but then after we're done playing, everyone's like, oh my god, that's never seen that before. Wow. So it can be the contrast can be a little weird every now and then, but
right.
I don't care. I don't see any stuff.
Yes, you do. He's very in tune. Don't let him fool you. He's very yeah. in tune.
Well, I got to admit, when I first, you know, learned of the band, and I, the first, videos and, you know, music I was watching, I was listening to the band and I was listening to you singing. I was like, okay, she sings really good. And then all of a sudden you went into that scream stuff. And I'm like, oh shit. You know, you kind of took me by surprise. It was like, I wasn't expecting it, you know?
That's kind of what I like to do.
Yeah. Well, you did it.
If you come to a live performance, I kind of like to mess with the audience. It's kind of like a game that I've kind of developed. Like, if people aren't paying attention to me, I try to get them to pay attention to me. I literally scared the crap out of that poor guy in Ohio. He was on his cell phone. It was perfect timing. And I went up to him and I screamed at him. He went like this. Dropped his phone. And after the set, I felt bad. I was like, I'm sorry, man. I did not mean to do that. And he started laughing. He goes, that was impeccable timing. So I do kind of like to mess with people a little bit while I'm on stage.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to your live show, would you say that if somebody was to follow you through a series of shows, would they see something different every night?
I think so. I mean, I think venues change the dynamics of how we play. I think obviously like audience energy changes how we play. Obviously we as people, even though like this is, you know, a fun job, it's still, you know, work at the end of the day, and how we're feeling that day will change the energy, I think, of the show as well. I think that's a fair statement to say.
Yeah. It's every night, but it's, you know, we try to mix it up a bit with how we interact. I know, like, me personally, like, there might be a part I jump around a lot at, another part that I'm more focused on the music, and then the next night it's mirrored and I'm jumping around during the other part and not for different parts, so I try to mix it up.
Yeah. Now, are there parts within the music to where there's the freedom for the band just to go off in their own directions? You know what I mean? You know, like, you have a moment in a song where the band deviates from, you know, what's really going on and creates something kind of different and then comes back to it? Or is it, we got the structure of the song and we stay within that structure the whole time? Are there moments like that, I should say? Because I know every song isn't like that.
It's a bit of both. Every now and then, I think that there are spots when people are feeling themselves and rocking out. They add extra little shit here and there just for their own person. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll be like, I don't want to do the practice solo. Let me revise something I was messing on last night or something. Yeah. Pull something new out.
Yeah. So the EP that you have out, are there plans, because I know you guys are on tour and I know that you're playing these songs now, are there plans to go in the studio and do a full-length project?
I mean, as of right now, I mean, I'm kind of going to take the video game approach, where put single out, and, you know, and just work the singles most likely throughout the year next year.
I think a lot of the misconception that a lot of viewers and people have is like, we are 100% independent, so everything comes from us.
Right.
So, and I always joke and say our team is up here and we're like here, and that's not a dig. So we have to very much, you know, go home and, you know, get our capital together to go back into the studio. So to have an EP, we'd probably have to fundraise, or, you know, you guys might be waiting a while.
Sell a kidney.
Okay. What about the videos though? Did you make the videos yourself, or who made the, like, cellophane? Cellophane.
We use Tom Flynn. He's worked with I Prevail, Ice-T, Outlier, Any Given Sin. I mean, he's worked with probably every hard rock and metal artist in the industry. So Tom is definitely not cheap. And I'm sure that people can see from the video, like, it's like movie quality. And that's
right.
It takes us so long because we want to have the best quality for consumers, you know, from merchandise to songs to music video. That's why it takes so long for us to release stuff.
Right. Well, that seems to be like he was just saying, that seems to be the way things are. A lot of people are doing singles, they do a video, and then they tour, right? And they tour around those singles, around those videos, because it costs a lot of money. It costs just as much money to do the video sometimes as it does to record the album. So, if not more.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't get a chance to be that candid about that conversation, and people aren't usually that opened about that conversation. So as a lot of independent artists, we all go through these struggles. It's just a lot of the artists aren't maybe as open about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long are you guys going to be out on the road? I know you're doing several dates, you know, I know in Illinois, I think Thursday, you're in Chicago somewhere, because I know Tom sent me an invite, but unfortunately I'm gone.
Yeah, we'll be at Livewire on Thursday.
Yeah. So how many dates, I mean, how much longer are you going to be on the road before you go home?
We're out till October 16th.
Yeah. And then when do you go back out?
Probably next year.
Probably next year.
Yeah.
Probably next year. November and December are kind of quiet months anyways in the music industry. I mean, obviously, if there was like a wonderful show opportunity, we wouldn't turn it down. But that's usually time for all of us to be home and be with our families. Like Eric has kids, you know, so Christmas and Thanksgiving are important. And, you know, we all have families. Eric's the only one with children, but we all have, you know, moms, dads.
That we know sisters, of.
That we
there's going to be some DNA tests after this interview, right? Right?
There's probably 7 or 8 little Graysons running around out there.
Probably. So we take the times to relax and then kind of game plan for next year.
Yeah. Now tell me a little bit about this song, you know, some of your songs, because they've got a, you know, a little bit of a dark tint to them, you know, and I'm just kind of curious of where that comes from.
Is there a particular song that's sticking out?
Well, I'm thinking, of course, of Cellophane, which was, you know, it seems a little dark to me, you know, and it's got a kind of a dark theme to it. So I don't know.
Welcome to my brain. I always say it looks like a Tim Burton movie. So Cellophane, actually, so when Berg and I were on tour, the national tour, we had a lot of unfortunate circumstances happen on that tour. And we lost half of our band. And as we started growing as a band, we started losing a lot of friends. And a lot of people started to not be a part of our lives, which is kind of where Cellophane was born from. I always tell people, like, when I write music, it's autobiographical. It always has to come from me. So, you know, when you go back home from tour and your phone doesn't ring anymore, because everybody has this conception in their brains that, you know, you're a rock star, or their perception of you is, you know, you're too good for them or whatever, which is just, you know, insanity to us. That's kind of where all these unsettling feelings kind of birthed Cellophane, if you will.
Yeah. So are any of you, well, I should say, you know, with that kind of mindset and those types of songs, you know, are you a huge fan of, like, you know, horror movies and sci-fi and things of that nature? Is any of that born out of all that too? Or is it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I'm always the one that will go for something to the point where Berg's like, we can't put that on the screen. Like, what if we take it to the Instagram? He's like, no. And then he will, like, pull me back in about, you know, 6 pegs.
Listen,
down.
I had to humor her and render down a death rattle that she found on the internet, and after like 2.5 hours of working on it, I was like, honey, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this random person on the internet's death rattle that you found trying to render and manipulate it. I was like, yeah, you'll be locking me up next.
I always like to say, you know, I like to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed. That's kind of what I always like to say. I always like to push the envelope if I can. Not to the point where we get canceled, but I like to push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people I know. I just interviewed John 5 not long ago, and that guy pushes the envelope a little bit too. So what's the end game for Reign of Z? I mean, I understand, you know, I started touring in 88, so I understand, you know, what you're trying to do, but is it just about the music and just making a decent living, or are you trying to accomplish something greater than that?
I mean, I think as musicians, I think this is an individual question, but I think as musicians myself, I just would like to leave a footprint, whatever that may look like. I mean, to come in here and say you do it for the money, that's hilarious, because there was one of our industry friends that said, everybody makes money but the artist. So, you know, I would just like to leave a footprint. If our music helps somebody, or we have a cult fan base where, you know, we can make a living, continue to do what we do, I mean, that's awesome. That's my take, at least. I'll let Eric go next.
A combination of both. If I could find a way to supplement my income totally by playing music, that would be fantastic. But at the same time, it's all about the experience and the memories and the relationships that you build.
Yeah.
Pretty much it for me.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That was good.
Yeah, that
good.
Was real good.
Yeah, I'd give three. I want to travel. I want to see places. I want to reach new people. Like, I started doing music because whenever I'd be like feeling all depressed or fucked up at home and shit growing up, and I'd, you know, like emo kid putting his fucking My Chemical Romance in his ears and crying on the school bus home, and I was like, I want to be that guy for other kids and shit like that. And I just, you know, want to get out there and see the world, see what it's got. And money is stupid. Right. But if people making money off of me give me the ticket to travel, then, you know, oh well.
Right. I was kind of expecting you to say, I just want to play my banjo in New Mexico, and I want to play my banjo in Vermont, and I want to play.
That was one of my my favorite tour moments. So I pulled over on the side of a road in New Mexico in the desert, and me and the band I was in, man, I pulled out a melodica. We just jammed in the desert. And fucking one of my favorite tour memories. It's funny you said that, because, yeah, like, just getting to go out somewhere way different than West Virginia and perform.
Yeah. What about you, Mayor?
I just want to live in this van down by the river.
Did you say a van by the river?
Yeah, he's supposed to live in a van.
Gotta love it. Well, you can't be in it for money, that's for damn sure. You know, it's got to be about the love for the music and that. What about your fans? Do you spend a lot of time with your fans, you know, or are you one of those bands that are after the show or before the show hanging out with the audience, you know, spending time with them and that?
Yeah, as much as you can. You want to listen to that. It's nice to hear other people's stories and how everything relates. I mean, plus just to connect with people on a different level is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, I love to, I spend more time with them definitely after than I do before, because before is like a lot of prep work with like getting ready and doing my vocal warm-ups and, you know, making sure that my costume's on correctly. So it's never, you know, I think singers get a bad rap and saying that, you know, it's like a diva moment, but it's really like, I just want to make sure that when I go on, I give them the best show possible. But once the show's over, I am out there hanging out. I try to at least watch every band that we play with, at least a couple songs off their set, you know.
You do clean up your in-ear stuff.
I feel like that's sarcasm. I feel like I don't. I feel like he's being sarcastic. I can't read it, though. You have that resting beard face, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's important to spend time with your fans, that's for sure, because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be, right?
Absolutely. They're the ones that, you know, keep you funded, you know?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, guys, I've really appreciated, you know, the opportunity to meet you and to discuss what's going on in your world and that. I wish you all the best on your tour. And hopefully the next time you come through my area, I'll be around where I can come out and see you guys play, because that would be great.
Yeah, we would love that. Thanks for taking the time, and just thank you for being interested. We appreciate that.
You bet. You guys have a good show, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, take care.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.